Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey, welcome to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. With me, as always, is the amazing Amanda. We got some good ones for you this week. Thanks for all the good ratings and for everyone saying such nice things. Haven't really had a prick in the bunch. Haven't had a, hey, give up, you should kill yourself. I don't know if that's kind of faded away more, but gosh, wasn't there a time for a while where everyone just left nothing but like shit messages on like, you know, like, I mean, YouTube comments still. That's still commentary hell, I'm sure. But we're not on there right now, so that's fine. We have a lot of guests coming up. I just booked another one that I'm excited about. So those will be coming up in the next couple of episodes. So that's going to be really fun to have somebody with me who I'm buddies with and who I'm sure you've heard of. I kind of stunt cast this one. I got a lot of big names. So we'll be listening to these calls, your calls, together. And I'm excited to see, you know, if they find it as much fun as I do. I'm sure they will. Yeah. I'm sure they will. But, yeah, let's go. Let's hear the first call.
All right.
Hey, this is Mel's. I got a question for you about marriage and divorce. My wife and I have only had sex to get pregnant. She got off birth control, even though we had not had sex in years. And as soon as she got off birth control, we had sex one time. A couple weeks later, she came up pregnant. We had no sex during the pregnancy. And she, we have a 7-month-old. She says she's still having complications medically for her recovery, which is completely understandable. However, she also says she just has no desire not only to have sex with me, but also that she just doesn't want to have me around anymore and threatens to divorce me for anything, you know, putting a coffee pot back in the wrong place, anything like that. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I don't want to separate now that we've got a little baby. And I don't know what to do. You have any advice for me? I don't know if you've been married before or you're married now. Anyway, I saw you on your mom's house and I just thought I'd give you a call. Thanks.
Hey man, thanks for calling. God, that's woof. That's a kick in the pants, man. My first impressions are that One thing I've come across in my travels are, and this is kind of new to me. I wasn't really familiar with the term, but people who are asexual, people who don't have any interest in sex whatsoever. I've met two women so far, from a friendly standpoint, that are they didn't just tell me that. That wasn't just thinking, oh, I'm asexual, get away from me. In my single days, no, this is a real thing where people just kind of either never had or just don't have the no longer have the capacity to have any kind of sexual desire. In that case, I would say you should suggest to your wife an open relationship situation. But that said, it sounds like she's just not open, sounds like, to any kind of conversation about the situation or whatnot. I'm just going off your word, man, and that's what I'll always do when people call in. I'm just going to go ahead and trust your perspective. It sounds like you are, neither one of you is very happy. And it sounds like she's, if she's constantly threatening divorce, that's a big one, man. That's, for like a coffee pot being put in the wrong place. I would say as much as you want to do the right thing for your kid. And I think that's noble and that's fantastic. And also you probably just want your family to stay together. And it sounds like you still love her. Maybe talk about, you know, is separation, because separation is one of those things where you try it out. And, if it feels better than being together, you get a divorce. And having grown up with a lot of friends who are children of divorce, no matter what Papa Roach says, it's not the worst thing. Let's be honest. It's one of those things that could be necessary. One of the biggest mistakes people often make in a couple situations is, well, let's stay together for the baby. Or, you know, even worse, let's have a baby to stay together. Not that you did that. But God, man. I mean, that's so rough because sex is an important part of a relationship. I mean, sometimes as a couple, you and this is going to sound screwed up for someone you've slept with a lot of times, like in a marriage. Sometimes you just got to treat it like the gym. Like, oh, let's just have sex. You know, let's do it. And you always feel better afterward, even if you're kind of like the lazy part of you is like, I kind of just want to watch TV or eat a piece of pie or whatever. It's an important thing that keeps a connection between the two of you. And when there are people who are like, oh, sex isn't important. Yeah, it is. I think it is. And because intimacy is important, and it sucks, man, because it feels like you're being made to feel like you're undesirable and you're not someone who a person would be attracted to. But this is your wife. So I don't know. I think since she's kind of going all out, as you put it, like from what you've told me, she's kind of going for the nuclear option at all times where it's like, you didn't turn the AC on before I got home. Divorce. Or whatever, I would go, look, can we just talk about everything? Because I'm scared. I'm freaking out. And you're making me feel absolutely horrible. I'm the father of our child. You're the mother of our child. And there was at least a time when we loved each other enough to get married. So all I can tell you, man, is my best advice is to just give you, is just to say to talk. But it's hard, man. Amanda and I were just talking about how hard it is sometimes to just have a talk with somebody who is creating a rift or you created one or whatever. That's one of the scariest words in the English language is we need to talk. That's never good. That's never a thing that people are looking, oh, we're going to have a talk? I'm psyched. About what? Water parks? It's never anything fun. But good luck to you, man. And hang in there. And congrats on the kid. Okay, let's hear the next one.
That was it. I just realized now how awesome of a start that was. But I liked his voice. I liked his voice so much.
His voice is amazing.
It's such a cool accent.
Yeah, such a cool accent. But just, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm not even going to have fun with his accent because what a horrible situation.
Yeah.
It's just brutal.
I literally know people who are the same way.
Yep.
Where that's the only time and then a baby came from it.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, that's, I...
Yeah, we gotta talk.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, poor guy. Let's do the next one.
Please.
Hi, Matt. This is Michael. First of all, I thought that based on what you said in the previous podcast that you should have a separate advice show for couples called Waiting to Eat Cake. You know, anyway, my issue is that I recently was promoted into a new job, which is great. But I wasn't given any time to train my replacement in my old position. So they are constantly contacting me to guide them through my old job. And so I'm effectively doing two jobs. And I need help telling them to basically go fuck themselves without being mean, hopefully maybe even a funny way, keeping in mind that I'm still going to have to see these people at work and Christmas parties and whatnot. So anyway, that's my problem, and I look forward to hearing your advice.
Hey, man. That's a doozy. That's annoying because you can't tell them to go fuck themselves when they realize they really should go fuck themselves because it's too much of a demand on you. You're not getting two paychecks. So I guess your question is how do you approach? My thought would be basically twofold. One, you can just be like, guys, I just don't have time. I can help you out for a little bit more this week, but then after that, please don't contact me about the old job. It's affecting my new position, you know? And my only fear with that is maybe they know your boss and maybe they know that exactly your workload and they're like, they could say like, oh, no, because here's a problem. You're on a friendly level with them. They're like, no, we'll reach out to him and make sure he doesn't clog you up too much. And we'll carve out the stuff you need to do for us. Where at that point, first I would do that. But at that point, if they do that, you know, if you go, knight to rook, take queen. And they're like, no, queen evades, king moves in. I know shit about chess. Okay. And nothing. Yeah. But yeah.
Did you say queen of AIDS?
No. Queen of. No.
Spades.
No, I didn't say spades. I said queen move one or something like that. I did not. Okay. Whatever AIDS I said, I don't know. That rhymed with that. It wasn't queen of AIDS.
Just queen of spades. That's a horrible move Freudian
Isn't
slip. Is that like a poker thing?
Yeah, see, that would be poker. Yeah. Yeah. But let's say if you try to do that move and they outmove you, you're helping. basically, then I would use the friendliness. It's just gonna sound fucked up, but use it against them. Where you're kind of like, guys, look, I mean, I can't be doing two jobs. I love you guys. You guys are the best, and it's been great. But I can't do two jobs. I mean, you can't really expect me to be doing two jobs. Am I right, guys? Right? There you go. And make it kind of that friendly thing where they kind of recognize the folly of what they're asking of you. Because it's their fault. They didn't have you train the replacement. So now they have to do it. And I think, you know, honestly, sometimes there's that one of the best things you can do for yourself is if someone asks too much of you, laugh at them. Just laugh in their face and be like, come on, man, I'm not going to do that. And then it's like, oh, this is okay. They might realize in their mind, oh, I am asking too much. That's why he's laughing, because it's so far beyond the pale. It's kind of hilarious, you know. I'll put it this way: a friend of mine I hadn't seen in about a year came to Los Angeles this past weekend, or so he thought. And you know, I live in basically what is the northeast part of Los Angeles, and my wife was out of town for the weekend, and so, you know, I did it. I was joking with my wife. It was almost like she sent up a wife is out of town for the weekend flare, because like my friends were like, we're going to the monster truck rally. I was like, oh fuck, okay, I'll go to that. And then the next day, we're watching wrestling. It's like, oh, this is stupid. It was fun, but anyway, it would have been a perfect time for this guy friend of mine to be in town. You know, not that I need to have just guys around me to have fun, blah, blah, blah. But so he's like, yeah, so I'm staying in Torrance. I'm like, dude, that's like 20 miles away. Like, I'm not going to see you. Well, can we meet like halfway? Nope. No, I can't meet you halfway. I would go broke with Lyft fees. And so I was just like, I'll probably be in Austin doing shows later this year. He's like, all right, great. Let's hang up there. Hang up there. So rather than me go like, dude, that's fucking too far. I can't go. I just kind of laughed. I was like, Torrance, do you know how far you are? And he's like, I don't. And I was like, okay, great. Okay, yeah. So you didn't know. So it's very funny to me, and now you know why it's funny. So I kind of, because, look, and you're big baller now. You got promoted. So when they're asking you to do the old jobs, be like, I don't have that job anymore, guys. You know, even if you're just like, all right, guys, like I ask you one more thing, be like, all right, last thing, okay? Last thing. Right, guys? Because you're kind of being, you know, a little demanding here. And like I said, just laugh it off. Because if you kind of say what you're really feeling and go, you know what, fuck you guys, as you put it, you know, go fuck yourselves. I don't do that job anymore. They're going to get all butthurt and be like, man, he changed. What a dick. But I'm just saying, just have a sense of humor about it. That's my advice to you, man. And good luck. Good luck to you.
Yeah, the monster truck rally story was good. That was a good story.
Yeah, on the Instagram story.
I haven't been to one of those in forever. Those are fun.
It was so child-based, too. Like, a lot of families. It was fun. It was fun watching these kids.
It's like a good, clean, fun thing.
Yeah,
right?
And they give them earmuffs that are giant tires, like, for the set, so it doesn't hurt their little baby ears. It's kind of cute.
And I love that. I would wear that just for the novelty.
It looked cool. My friend's date had one on, mm-hmm. You know. But, like, The female drivers were amazing. Like the lady, I think it's Patricia who drives the Wonder Woman truck. And it's kind of balletic, because they have to do this like freestyle competition where they jump and land on the nose and see how long they can stay on the nose. And then I'll go up on the butt of the truck and bounce it like that. And it's really cool. Oh, and everyone's cheering for how long you can stay like right there. But
pretty much everybody needs to get on Patreon, where they get to the thing where they can visually watch us because your movement's in my face right now.
Yeah,
your movement's in my, I'm like amazed and you're like bouncing up your elbow. Yeah. Guys.
So guys, come on, give.
Get on it. Okay.
We're trying to get the Patreon big enough that we can get on Spotify because I have a lot of people that are like, when are you gonna be on Spotify? When? It's like, when you become part of our team. Yeah. That's when, buddy.
I know, we got our first like, we have a, they're rolling in. But
no, no, it's awesome.
I
want to
be on Spotify. Yeah, Spotify would be great.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
Hey, Matt. This is Andy. So I'm currently living in an apartment building that has five apartments in it. And our shared laundry space has smelled like cat piss for the past month because one of my neighbors had... dumped like a mat that you put a litter box on top in the sink there and tried to clean it off and ran a bunch of water over it. And it's just been marinating in the summer heat for the past month. God. Do you have any advice on trying to get rid of that smell? Oh. Or should I just be passive aggressive and try to get one of my neighbors to clean it up? Anyways, love the show. Thanks a lot. Hope to hear your answer to my question.
Hey, dude. Yeah, that's, I mean, for those people who don't know, I mean, cat piss is like ammonia. It ruins domiciles. If someone has like a cat that just pees on the ground, it soaks into the flooring, soaks into the wood, and you cannot get it out. I don't know if, you know, in ancient times, saber-toothed tigers just had piss that would just melt the leaves of a plant or something, but it something about cat piss is just it's the strongest smell, and it's brutal. So that your description of it just marinating in the heat is so my thing is okay. It was just in the sink though, right? So possibly you could. Since it's not in the carpeted ground, it's not, I imagine your laundry room does not have wood flooring, which would be stupid. It's probably cement. Maybe you could just take a bottle of bleach and dump it in the sink and hopefully get some of that, get like that, you know, the smell that destroys all smells, generally speaking, is bleach. If that doesn't work, man, I don't even know what this cat owner could do to get the smell out. I don't know. I mean, I've had contractor friends tell me they've had to tear out a whole floor or a wall, even parts of walls, because a cat just kept peeing in this one spot. I mean, not just like they're not like aliens from the movie Alien, where you know they bleed acid and just ruin it. It's not like cat pees once, it's ruined. But like if a cat is always peeing there, so I don't know. I think you might have a shot. But look, here's the thing. You could also slip a little note under the person's door. And more often than not, I'm the person who says, oh, knock on their door, talk to them. But it's like, just go, hey, look, you know, that thing you put in the basement, it really smelled it up. Can you try to clean that? Thanks, your neighbor. You can. I think this is one of those things where it's the anonymous thing is fine. I just wouldn't necessarily put it on the wall of the laundry. You know, that those signs we all hate in the kitchen area of workplaces where it's like, somebody needs to start cleaning their coffee cups because they're being a real cock. And it's just to everyone, you know, specify, go, you know, hey, whoever she is. And if you like, possibly put your name on it. Just because sometimes going, hey, you stunk up the laundry room face to face is a little brutal. It's a little hard. But yeah, that sucks. It's one of those things where if you haven't, you know, I know we have like younger listeners and stuff who might not have a cat or and never have had to pay rent yet, you know, or whatever. And they don't really know, but it's one of those things when you've lived in as many apartments as I have and as many apartment complexes as I have, where you learn like, oh yeah, cat piss is the strongest smell and cat piss just ruins I remember, going on a date and went to this, girl, what was it, a date? I don't even know. We were like friends and talked about, oh, let's have a night, blah, blah. And so I went to her house and we're just hanging out, sitting there, and her and her roommate had a bunch of crazy cats that ran around, and just that smell that's always around, it was just like, it's brutal. One of those things where it doesn't, and I think you become inured to it if you're a cat lover. and maybe not that clean of a person, you don't really notice it, you know? But people that are not around cats that often, like myself, holy shit. It, as Ron Burgundy would say, singes the nostrils. So that's my advice to you, man. Maybe like to give a little note. If this person seems pretty chill, talk to him, you know? Or just try dumping a thing of bleach in that sink. Yeah, any of those stuff. I'd probably, honestly, because I hate confrontation as much as the next person, I'd do the bleach thing first. It's like $2. $2 at the store. Just dump it all over the inside of that sink. And I'm sure it's an industrial sink, so just fuck it. And if that doesn't work, then option B. But good luck to you. The one thing to not do is don't just be passive aggressive and hope it goes away. Because that's just, you end up hating that person and hating yourself. It's a lose-lose.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's do the next one.
You kept being like, yeah, and that's it. And then you can,
I'm sorry.
And then you continue. Like, yeah. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Matt. I've been having a lot of relationship troubles with my girlfriend in the past month here. Keep on having the same fight over and over again. For some reason, she keeps thinking that shit pushes the fart out. But I know for a fact that farts push the shit out. Anyways, I'd love to hear you try and settle this debate. Thanks.
I love doing this show because you just you'll have something. What I just did not see that coming at all, at all. And I think you knew that, you scamp, you wily son of a bee. I'm thinking it's going to be this most serious like relationship prop,
like the first one.
Like oh yeah no God I know like oh no what happened? This one's so dark. You imagine their marriage is going to fall apart. They're screaming at each other. Farts push the shit out, Sheila. God damn you! You're just like your mother. Oh fuck you, Ron. Shit pushes out the farts. Just throwing shit at each other. Just driving way too fast above the speed limit away from your house, wiping tears to driving to a hotel, arguing over which comes first. The fart egg or the shit chicken? Jesus Christ. Come on, man. You know and I know. I think that's how the conflict in Northern Ireland started, isn't it? Or the Middle East.
I can't breathe.
Those people, they sound and look like us, but they're fucked. The shit pushes the fart out. Everyone knows that. Okay. For the record, I kind of think you're both right, man. Generally speaking, you know, look, farts are almost like ghosts. It's just air, but shits are real. Shits, you know, try shitting or farting in an elevator and see which one people are more offended by. Which one pushes which? I'd say it's all your butt muscles anyway and your colon. So, you know, yeah, the air pushes out the shit as a projectile. But when you got a shit, boy, do you fart. You fart a lot. Because your body going, hey, this is coming. like it or no. So just understand there's you know, pardon the terminology, there's weight to both of your arguments. Okay? There's no one pushes the other one out, the other one pushes it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's someone screaming right now for both issues, but when you got shit, it causes you to have to fart, you know? And I'm sure, you know, a fart does push out the shit. And this, see, this, when I looked forward to my adulthood as a child and what I'd be talking about to other grown human beings, I knew it would be either be socioeconomic issues, like urban planning, the emotionality of being an adult human being, or what pushes the shits or the farts out. One of the two. And now I know. The question has been answered. I am an adult man, and so are you. And so is your gal. I'm just going to, I know you guys aren't in a real fight, and I think that's a great thing you shared, but it is funny. It probably did lead to some kind of dispute because you both think the other one's crazy, and you're not. Jesus.
I am putting this on Instagram when this episode launches. Yeah. And I'm having people vote.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna do it every day for the week.
Why not?
And then I'm going to show the results.
Look, and we just need you know the rules. We don't Google anything. We don't Wikipedia anything. We just need like a proctologist to just go, all right, here's what's up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you know the answer, email us.
Yes.
advicefromadipshit@gmail.com.
Yeah. Just email us.
I'm still laughing.
God damn it. It was so out of nowhere. Okay.
You know what they say about public farts?
What?
It's like an ex relationship. It's best to just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. It's true.
That's like my one joke.
It's true. Yeah. This elevator really smells, you guys.
Okay.
All right. So my question revolves around being a musician. I'm a musician. I play the guitar. I'm constantly afraid that when I perform and I make my songs, because it is original stuff, I don't want to just be a cover artist. I'm afraid that I will come off as contrived or a bitch or crazy, something like that. And I just don't know how to really make good music. I mean, I think it sounds great, but I just don't want to come off as a fucking weirdo. I don't know if there's some way to get around that. And then the second part, two-part question, is I also do stand-up, and it's kind of a similar issue of where, like, I'll do stand-up, and I feel like I just come off as vulgar or not, like, not funny, but I don't, how to just give me some steps on maybe how to overcome those issues. Thanks.
Hey, dude. Yeah, you know what? The best advice you can give any performer that someone's going to do like live stuff in front of other human beings is get out of your head. It's a bad neighborhood. Just don't drive yourself crazy with second guessing yourself. If you like the song, sing the fucking song. If you believe in it and you think it's good music, then, do it. I really doubt you're writing songs going, this is going to make me $1 million. This is a hit. Here's a hit, everybody. Dig on this. Feel free to throw panties. I deserve it. It's one of those things. If you like it, then like it and have fun performing. Same thing for stand-up, but with stand-up, because that's something as a performer I'm far more familiar with. Just make sure the jokes that you're telling or the stories you're telling, the observations you're giving, that you genuinely are amused by them. You had a thought, you thought it was funny. Not, oh, this is something that'll make these people laugh, but I don't like it. That's death. You mentioned being vulgar. You can control that. One of the best pieces of advice I heard was Jim Gaffigan. He never curses, but the way he gives emphasis is he thinks the curse. And so it comes across in his delivery. So, you know, into like him going, that fucking jerk. He's going, that jerk. So, you know, so that's, it's got the same punch, you know. And it's, the vulgar thing's really easy to control. The inauthentic thing is really easy to control. Try to be as good of a version of yourself as you can. Or not even a good version, an honest version of yourself. And you sell the joke and act like a big part of it is acting like you are telling amazing jokes, and that will help sell it too. And it's not a cocky thing. It's just a confidence thing because they want you to be confident. That's the biggest fear a performer has is, well, they're going to hate me. No, they want to like you, unless you're playing that country western bar from the Blues Brothers with the chicken wire where they're throwing bottles. Okay, yeah, you play a place like that, they probably want to throw bottles at you. They want to throw bottles at anyone. You name it. But yeah, it's the thing is I have a friend who's an improviser who's one of the best alive, and he's in Chicago, and he has a tattoo on his arm that just says, you know. And what that means is, as much as you debate something, you know what the right thing to do is. You know the right way. So go ahead and just trust your gut. Are you feeling like you're being a cursy douchebag on stage? You probably are. Are you singing a song that you're trying to come across as way too cool? You probably are. So just, but don't kick your own ass. That's, you have to get out there. You have to experiment. The thing is, you're doing a thing, and that's good. So you've already passed that thing of, you're not at home going, what's the perfect joke? You're performing. So that's good. So yeah, I mean, I wish I had something more specific or scientific to tell you in terms of what will help that. Like, eat a bunch of pears. Like, there's nothing that can really, help you besides just doing it and being as honest with yourself as you can. Hope that helps. Cool. Yes, always the phone number to call is 323-763-0228. That's 323-763-0228. Our Patreon is at Advice From A Dipshit. Please give. Please help us get onto Spotify. Evidently, you have to get a certain number on Patreon to be allowed onto Spotify. So we're trying to get past that velvet rope. Social media, we got at Advice From A Dipshit on Facebook and at Dipshit Advice. On Twitter, our theme song is by Ben Wise. And thanks again, guys. Stay tuned for some awesome guests and keep the calls coming. Love you.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.